It will be months before the House committee investigating the January 6th riot issues its first report. New polls today show that Americans of different parties view the event very differently. Whose fault it was, whether violent action is okay, and whether those who stormed the Capitol were mostly violent or mostly peaceful. But then there is data about the rioters. Political scientist Robert Pape has been analyzing the identities of the several hundred people arrested for breaking through the barricades that day. He has pored over their court documents. And get ready for some surprise findings. Pape directs the Chicago Project on Security and Threats at the University of Chicago. And Professor Pape, the number of suspects has risen steadily. How many have you studied, and what are you finding?
Scott, we're now up to nearly 700. So we have been analyzing data month after month after month as new people have been arrested, and the picture remains the same. In the thousands and thousands of pages of the court documents, there are interviews that the individuals are giving to the FBI and to others that are reported in the court documents. And what you see is over and over and over again, they tell you why they're going. They're going to support President Trump. And they're doing this because they think Trump is the truly legitimate president and Joe Biden is an illegitimate president. So this isn't just simply normal criminal behavior or escalations of like street fighting. This is clearly collective political violence done by hundreds and hundreds of people for essentially the same political purposes.
Now, as far as the politics, many of us might, I might, assume the participants were linked to far-right groups, militias, Proud Boys, Oath Keepers. What did you find?
You're exactly right, Scott. We tend to think, and in fact, our in past research, it shows that right-wing extremists tend to be, when they commit violence, they tend to be strongly linked to skinhead gangs or to militia groups. That is not the case with January 6th. As of early December, 87% are not members of militia groups like the Oath Keepers or extremist groups like the Proud Boys. They're coming, Scott, much more from the mainstream. We're used to thinking of extremists as on the fringe. We're used to thinking of their ideas as on the fringe. What we see over and over in their demographics and in their motives really is a disturbing picture that this is coming from part of the mainstream.
And I want to ask you to talk a little bit more about it, because I was struck in one of your articles on this, describing a good percentage of the participants being business owners, white-collar workers, IT workers, CEOs, doctors, and lawyers. Almost all of them had jobs. Were you surprised when you saw these numbers?
Yes. So I'm coming at this with decades of experience of studying political violence around the world. What we're used to seeing are domestic extremists that are 25% or a third unemployed. Here, with the January 6th, of the 700 arrested for breaking into the Capitol, only 7% were unemployed at the time they broke into the Capitol, nearly the national average. Over half are business owners, CEOs, and from white-collar occupations, doctors, lawyers, and architects. About 15% of those who broke into the Capitol on January 6th have prior U.S. military service. But if we look at the normal right-wing extremists, they usually have 40% prior military service. If we look at criminal history, we've looked into the criminal backgrounds of those on January 6th. 30% of those who broke into the Capitol on January 6th have a criminal history of some kind, often basically being arrested for drug misdemeanors. But that compares to 64% of right-wing extremists. If we look at their age profile, right-wing extremists, normally two-thirds are under the age of 34. Here, with January 6th, two-thirds are over the age of 34. They're in their 40s, they're in their 50s. And this is extremely close to the picture of the mainstream. And this is uncomfortable, Scott, for a variety of reasons. It means a lot of our usual counterviolent extremist solutions just don't apply. Usually we think, well, we'll get them a job. Well, if we've already got over half business owners, CEOs, and folks from white-collar occupations, that's not going to work. A lot of times when we talk about deactivating people or demobilizing them from right-wing mm-hmm. extremists, we're talking about young people that we try to have them develop better relationships. That is, they get married and have kids. Well, these folks have already gotten married, you see. So we need to really come to grips with the fact that what we saw on January 6th is not simply the usual bad apples acting mm-hmm. out yet again. And this is crucial that we see this, because it means that our political leaders, our community leaders, our faith leaders, and also law enforcement, we have a different type of problem on our hands going forward.
Well, Robert Pape, let me stir in geography into all this as far as where the rioters are from. Again, the assumption might be most of these people hail from the deep red parts of the country.
You're exactly right. Yet again, Scott, that is where we would have thought too before looking at the data. But what we find is that those 700 arrested for breaking into the Capitol, over half come from counties that Joe Biden won. The more the county voted for Trump, the less likely was the county to send an insurrectionist. They're coming from San Francisco, Los Angeles, New York City, Dallas, Houston, Philadelphia, Chicago. They're coming from the city or from the immediately surrounding suburbs of the cities. And they are, in fact, essentially political minorities in their local communities. And they're not coming mainly from the reddest parts of America. They're not coming mainly from rural districts. This is also very, very important for us to understand, because we're so used to, again, thinking of extremism is the fringe. We're not seeing, what we're seeing is the mainstream married with parts of the fringe, to be sure. I'm not saying the fringe didn't show up at all, but what made the storm a storm on January 6th was not the fringe participation, but the mainstream. That's what was 10 times bigger than the fringe and what overwhelmed the Capitol police.
And finally, when you then look at the statistics that you've compiled and the people involved, what do you glean about what motivated them?
You really see very clearly inside of the court documents, the special feature of the counties that sent insurrectionists lost the most white population, specifically non-Hispanic white population. Keep in mind that there are many political leaders and leaders in the media talking about the Great Replacement, this right-wing conspiracy theory that the rights of whites are being overtaken by minorities, or that the population itself, the Democratic Party, is deliberately replacing the white population with foreigners in order to win future elections. Well, those conspiracy theories we used to think of as being on the fringe, not part of the mainstream. But all you have to do is go to the speeches of numerous political leaders. All you have to do is go to some of the most prominent people in the media to see the Great Replacement embraced full force. So it really shouldn't come as much of a surprise that people living in areas that seem to, when they look around, fit those media and political narratives, start to become angry and then act out violently.
Robert Pape is a political scientist at the University of Chicago, and he directs the Chicago Project on Security and Threats. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Scott.